بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وما خلقت الجن والانس الا ليعبدون صدق اللہ العظیم. Most respected brothers and elders, we continue with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The majlis of Hazrat Masihullah, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi of Jalalabad. And last week we discussed huququl ibad, the importance of huququl ibad. We discussed huququllah and huququl ibad, the rights of people, and we had terminated with settling of debts and returning illegal gains or whatever wrong things we took of any person, and we owe that item back to the person, so we should give it back to that person in this world, lest we are taken to task for on the day of Qiyamah. So if we have this in mind, the last we spoke on huququl ibad. Continuing from there, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says, a qissa, qissa means a story of a thief who repented. This qissa concerns a person who had become bayat to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. One day Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali spoke to him. Hazrat told him, it is a long time since you have become bayat, but in all this time, you have not related your condition or progress. So this person was bayat to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. After several years, Hazrat, or several months, whatever the period was, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali tells him that, listen, you've been bayat such a long time, you never wrote to me any time about your weaknesses, your condition, neither of your spiritual progress. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Muhammad Masihullah Rahman says, the ta'alluq, connection of bay'at is for the purpose of relating your hal, your condition. How can a murid adopt an attitude of independence while his sheikh is still alive? How can he maintain silence and not relate his inner state to his sheikh? So, those who are bay'at to a sheikh, the person is called a murid, one who has ta'alluq with the sheikh, who is his mentor. The purpose of taking bayat is to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rid oneself of the spiritual maladies that we keep on talking about. So the person has this ta'alluq, he took bayat. So he has to explain to his mentor the problems he is experiencing, the weaknesses he has, so that the right prescription is given. But if he's silent, doesn't say anything, how is he going to improve on his inner, his batin? Once, a Khalifa Wala Rahmatullah Ali asked him concerning continued correspondence from a Khalifa. This is an important point in Suluk, in Tasawuf. Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali replied, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah replied, with a note of warning, if one's contact with one's sheikh is broken, it is severed, if one does not maintain this islahi contact, is a real danger of a change coming in one's nisbat, in one's ta'alluq ma'allah. Now remember, we are talking about a genuine sheikh, one who is Allah wala. So the murid has now given his hand into the hand of the sheikh, so that he may be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, I'm going to mention this, we mentioned it many times, the sheikh is at no point of time the object. Never. The object is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sheikh is a means to guide the person. So all he does, he guides the person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our maqsood. Allah is our murad. That is our destination. That's our goal. But the sheikh will assist the person. Now the only time people will ask the sheikh some question is when they have a dream. Their interpretation of a dream. And 90% of the time those dreams are so weird. They must have read some comic or watched some movie at night, so they saw some nightmare and strange things, and now they insist they want some interpretation. But the real thing is connecting ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making this heart pure, clean, having that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing nur into this heart. That is the real purpose. So he says that if a person does not maintain a ta'alluq with his sheikh, there is a great danger that he will not have ta'alluq, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the sheikh was guiding him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not taking him somewhere else. Shaykh was teaching him about dhikrullah, about making, having humility, not having anger, not having pride, etc., etc. The message is quite clear. One should continue relating one's hal to one's Shaykh. Remember, Shaykh is a human being. Not that he just knows everything about the murid. It happens sometimes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his fadl, that sometimes a person mentions something in a gathering, in a majlis or a talk, and that's the exact solution or a weakness that some person has in the gathering, and he thinks, this is directed to me. How did the Shaykh come to know? No, only Allah has knowledge of the unseen. But Allah out of his kindness brings about certain things on the tongue of ulama and scholars and mashayikh, so that the people can benefit and they can make this change in their life and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one should continue relating one's hal to one shaykh even after having attained the rank of khalifa. Now what's a khalifa? These terms are common, but let us explain. A person wishes to make islah of himself. He wants to gain spiritual reformation. So he finds a suitable shaykh, and we mentioned the qualities of a true shaykh, etc. We're not going to go into those details. And he finds the shaykh. And after a period of time, with much spiritual exercises and cleansing and polishing, and then when the shaykh sees that this person now has reached a certain level where he is doing quite well, he hasn't reached perfection, but he's reached of such a level that, alhamdulillah, he can guide many others as well. And the purpose is to guide many as possible. Now there are problems nowadays. We find that many people give khilafat, as the Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Abraham used to quote, our Hazrat Ari Billah, that like how we sell toffees, we give toffees to people, distribute sweets, like that every person, yesterday he became a murid, today is a khalifa already. And big titles. Allah Ta'ala protect us. The maqsad is to gain spiritual cleansing, reformation. Nonetheless, there is a level that is called khalifa, where the person is given, he's entrusted with certain responsibilities. Khalifa does not mean that now the person has become pious and he is not very great buzrug himself. No. It means he's got the ability now to explain to others and to also bring them onto this path. So to continue, he says, whilst in Hazrat Wala's presence, we should see Islahi letters coming from prominent ulama like Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullahi. And we mentioned many discourses of Mawlana Wasiullah Rahmatullahi. He was a very great alim. He was also a khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi. So to continue, the murid answered Hazrat Wala. He said, what is there to ask? Hazratji asked this thief, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, asked his murid of his, who was previously a thief. And now he had made Islah. He asked him, where are some so long? Why don't you write? You never wrote, you never mentioned your progress or your condition. So he says, Hazrat, what is there to say or ask? I'm a poor person, I'm a gharib. I'm reading my 5 times salat. What is shown to me, I do. I keep my roza in Ramadan. I do not have wealth, so no zakat incumbent upon me. And there's no hajj upon me. Hazrat said, is that so? He then proceeded to question the murid concerning his past and his business dealings. From what he said, his ibadat to be in order, his ibadat appeared to be in order. But what about his mu'amalat, his dealings with people? Then only did the murid's eyes open. Then I'm tainted from the roots of the hair on my head to the nails on my toes. In what way? Well, before becoming bayat, I used to be a thief. You see, he didn't mention to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi before becoming bayat that this was his past. He took bayat and he did whatever Hazrat Thani told him to do, namaz, etc. He did the zikr. But what about the past? Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi is asking him, what about your past now? Now, so now he's relating. He's saying, before becoming bayat, I used to be a thief. What must I do now, Hazrat? Now he's worried. I do not have any wealth to return the money I had stolen. Hazrat Wala advised him, as far as you have knowledge of the people from whom you stole, go up to them and ask them their forgiveness. What else is there to do except to go to them and ask them for forgiveness to overlook what you stole. The murid was a sincere person. This is the main ingredient which lacks in most of us today. We take bayat, there's no sincerity. Just because a person is a very prominent sheikh, and so we are called in the circles in the masjid and outside, he's bayat to that sheikh. You see, it's all to do with sincerity. If a person is genuine, he won't worry which sheikh and from where he comes, but his maqsad is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he'll be worried about his spiritual self, and so this person was genuine, he was sincere. His heart had already developed some ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The medan of hashar, qiyamah, filled his vision. He went after a long period of absence. This person went, after some time he comes back and returns, clutching in his hand a piece of paper with a list of names. The names were of the people from whom he had stolen. Next to each name was the amount stolen. What good people they were, they pardoned him, even signed the names to that effect. There was a Hindu person's name as well. 500 rupees of his had been stolen. 500 rupees of those days would be equivalent to some 500,000 rupees today. The Hindu had written also, Hasbatan lillah, I have forgiven him. For the sake of Allah, the Hindu said, I have pardoned him the entire sum. Having noted all this, Hazrat Thani Ramadul asked, how can one be sure that you had gone to them and these are their signatures? The murid says, Hazrat, you may use whatever method you want to confirm it. Hazrat Wala said, okay, very well, go to the post office and get as many reply paid envelopes as there are the number of names on your list. In other words, he has to now write to those people to get confirmation from them. Writing for confirmation would be sufficient. The murid says, very well. He went to the post office, bought the envelopes, and presented these to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Thanvi said, no. I had no real intention of writing to them to get some verification whether you had asked them for forgiveness or not. But seeing that you have bought the envelopes, this is sufficient. I'll just buy these envelopes from you now and I'll use it for my own work. Because what was the purpose? To check whether this person was genuine or not. And the fact that he went and bought these envelopes was sufficient proof that he had done exactly what he had said, that he had asked his people, they forgave him. So there was no need now for Hazrat Thani Ramatullah now, over and above all this, now to seek confirmation from them. But what about the envelopes he's bought? So Hazrat Thani Ramadhan was a genuine sheikh. He didn't say, okay, right, you pass the test, now go. No. The poor man used his money. So Hazrat Thani Ramadhan said, give me, I will buy these envelopes from you now. So that the money is not wasted. The murid said, no, Hazrat, I did not bring them to sell, did not bring these envelopes to sell to you. I will use them for the mail order business I am doing. So he used it for his own work then. Give them back to me. Hazrat Wala returned the envelopes to him. Huququl ibad. Hazrat Ji Ramadan asked, are you beginning to understand what it means? This is the tartib of tazkiyah we mentioned last week. There's a methodology. The tartib of tazkiyah of the nafs, the methodology for the rectification of the character. How many persons exist so desirous of forgiveness as this murid? How many are prepared to go around asking to be pardoned by those whom they have cheated? Let's be honest, will we go do this? We have cheated people, deceived people, lied to people. Will we go back to all those people and ask them for forgiveness? We don't do those things. Hazrat Thani Ramadan was genuine. And he knew the serious repercussions of just becoming bayat and not bothered about mu'amalat, mu'asharat. So therefore he made sure that the murid he had, the muridin he had, the Islam was made. And therefore you'd find great people who came out of those hankas. Awliya Allah, not one, but in the hundreds. And they in turn produce hundreds. Now when we don't have this sincerity, and we don't listen to the sheikh, so many times the sheikh says, advise us, do this, don't do this. But we have our preconceived plans, and we have our plans made. So just like a formality, we inform the Shaykh, we're doing this, or we're doing this, or we're not doing this, finish. So there's no benefit. It's like telling the doctor, Doc, I'm not taking that medication. I'm taking the other one. And you told me take 3 times, I don't take it once. So how will the person get cured? Now all these things, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali was an expert in this field of tasawwuf. Not that he wanted somebody to be denigrated or make him be humiliated, but he was worried genuinely about the islah of that person. And then we see what a change came in those people. Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi Rahmatullah's treatment of Hazrat Shibli. We're talking about giants now. Junayd Baghdadi Rahmatullah's kissa we gave last week, if you recall, about the ghibat and the young boy, very handsome looking, nice clothing, was begging. Just the thought came in his mind, young boy and he's begging. And that night he sees a dream. We discussed that last week. Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, when you talk about awliya Allah, his name must come in the list. He's one of the giants amongst our mashayikh, with countless people having benefited from him. Shibli Rahmatullah Ali, Allama Shibli, great person, came to him requesting him to become bayat to him. Shibli is a murid. He's going to Junayd Baghdadi Rahmatullah. Hazrat, I want to take bayat to you. Junayd Baghdadi Rahmatullah replied, I have no objection to making you bayat and entering you into the silsila. However, work should have a methodology. You have been a ra'is in your province, governor, and you have been a hakim there as well, a ruler. Firstly, proceed to your locality. So he was from a very noble position, a very noble position. He was a ra'is, he was a leader, and he was a ruler. Firstly, proceed to your locality and ask forgiveness from all those over whom you have ruled. Perhaps you must have made zulam on some person. You may have given a wrong verdict. You may have hurt some person. You oppress some person as a ruler. Go and ask all those people for maaf, then come. Then we will consider bayat. This is the difference. We're not talking about khilafat. Just to become a murid. So, often person says, I want to take bayat. And then the person says, no, not now. These are the reasons. Person says, what's wrong with this person? Why is he not giving bayat? So many others, everybody else giving bayat. You see, it's not a wholesale business to just make everybody bayat, you know. These are important aspects that people have to be concerned about. I'm quoting from Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali's kitab, this is it. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali's qissa. They're explaining about Junayd Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali once, Amritsari Rahmatullah Ali, or Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan, Amritsari, very great alim, came to him and said, Hazrat, I would like to take bayat to you, I want to become your murid. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah tells him three things. Go and learn your tajweed properly, Alif Ba Ta Sa. Bring takti tomorrow and go to that certain class and learn your Alif Ba properly. Imagine he's a great alim, not a normal alim. He's a giant, known as Jami'ul Manqulat. He was an expert in hadith, an expert in logic. And Hazrat Thani tells him, no, you go learn Alif Ba properly. The second thing, go do your Hadith Sharif again, your Bukhari, your Muslim. Because the madrasa he had gone to was not a correct madrasa. Hazrat Thani asked him to go and repeat his whole Dora again. All the final year books, go to a certain madrasa and do it again. Because the madrasa he had went to, there were people who were ghair muqallid, not following madhab. And the third thing he tells him, go bring for me letters from your wife, and she must sign there that you're a good husband. You don't bring this letter, sorry, go find somebody else to become murid. He went and he does all these three things. He goes, does his whole hadith again, learns Alif Ba again, and he brings letters from his wife. Then Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali makes him murid. But what has happened in the process? This is the important point. By doing these things, what Hazrat Thani instructed, just to make him a murid, by making him do those things, it lowered his pride. It brought humility in him. He could have said, hey, I'm not going here. What, he wants me to do my hadith again? I must go Alif Ba again. You see? Knowledge makes a person proud of himself. Hey, I'm the best Qari, I'm the best orator, I'm the best Sheikh ul-Hadith, I know this Bahar. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi immediately made his Islah. So in many times, in these cases, not long after that, because the Islah is made now, the main maladies of the heart has been removed, then in many occasions you'll find that very shortly after that the person is given Khilafat. And he genuinely deserves Khilafat. For example, our Mawlana Abdul Haq Umar Ji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi was a very close student of Hazrat Mawlana Madani Rahmatullahi, Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi in Dioband. So when Mawlana Umar Ji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi went to Jalalabad and he took bayat to Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi, just took bayat to him. In his case, Hazrat Ji Mawlana Masihullah gave him Khilafat same time also. Because he could see all the effort on Islam was done already by Mawlana Madani Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And they spent years with them as students and even after the Ramadan. So the nafs was annihilated. And all the spiritual maladies that we suffer from, most of it is already out. So not much effort is required after that. Like this, there are many others also. Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, our Ustad, Damat Barakatum Azad, I was there when he took bayat to Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And few hours later, I was in the room when Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah said, Arif Billah Rahmatullah said, regarding Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, Sheikh ul Hadith, he said that he is already cooked. Paki pakai biryani. He's already cooked. So pious he is already, and mashallah, he made so much of effort on his Islah. In his case, I give him Khilafat. So these are things we won't understand. And sometimes people will sit for years and they don't Khilafat. Doesn't mean there are something wrong with them. Sometimes Khilafat is given, sometimes it's not given. So the Shaykh knows who to give and who not to give. They're just digressing on Khilafat because people ask, hey, so you're a Khalifa. They don't even say it properly. So whose Khalifa you are? You see, it becomes a joke. These are all serious matters. These are serious matters. It's a part of suluk, tasawuf. People don't talk about these things. So people get misconceptions. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah help us to make Islah of our batin. Nobody is intended to ridicule or mock anything. We are giving the malfuzat of and our mawa'iz of our elders, our real Ahlullah. So he says, now first you go and ask all those people for maaf. So Hazrat Ji, Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah, I'm mentioning about him. He's saying nowadays, bayat has become very cheap. It is an everyday request. Make me bayat, make me bayat. This appears to be the only desire to become bayat. In these days of our decline as Muslims, some are made bayat on request. Others are given little tasks to perform before the request is acceded to. The reason for giving in easily to such requests is the following. In this era of our decline, the process of bayat will at least keep the murid away from customs and bid'at and get him to perform the 5 times daily salat and get him involved in some wazaif, and simultaneously it is hoped that others will be safe from any mischief from this murid. So that is why we find many of our mashayikh, they give people bayat. Why? At least the man will start reading his namaz. At least he makes some zikr at least. But of course that depends on the sincerity of the murid. These are some simple objectives attained by the process of bayat nowadays. Testing the murid before bayat, this also took place previously. But before, previously great trials and tests took place before initiation into a silsila. Candidates were scrutinized properly. Among other things, was the candidate capable of eating properly? Unknown to him, he was actually being interviewed. He was watched. You must know what interview is. This is the word very much in vogue nowadays. The mashayikh in days gone by, they used to interview the potential murid. Man comes to take bayat. The sheikh says, no, wait 1 minute. After some time, he observes how he eats his meals. The idea was to see whether he had any worth in him for the important privilege of entering into a silsila. What's a silsila? Silsila is a chain. I am bayat to a certain person, he is bayat to a certain person. Like how we have student ustad, he is ustad, he carries on. right till the Sahaba, many cases to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, or Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, whichever one it is, whichever Sahabi, and then to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a whole chain, like how we have in Hadith also. There's a whole chain also in Tasawwuf. Not just any person just comes away from any place and just says now, take bayat. He has to have a sheikh, and that person also has to be genuine, and he has to have a sheikh, carries on right to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one sheikh used to provide the applicant with a meal, give him a meal, making sure that the salan is the gravy, and the roti provided were in proportional amounts. So there's a plate, there's some gravy, and he gave him roti, which was in proportion. So in other words, this, if he gave him one roti, then that was sufficient to eat that amount of gravy that was in the plate. If the extra gravy, he gave him perhaps two rotis. So the sheikh should give the meal, making sure that the salan, the gravy and the roti, were in proportional amounts. After the murid, or after the candidate, not yet bayat, had eaten, the sheikh would inspect the remains of his meal. If both the gravy and the roti had been eaten well and good, in other words, if both were eaten, the gravy was eaten, the plate is clean, and the roti also, one roti is finished, and well and good, now he's accepted. You see, and you'll understand why just now. If the salan was eaten, but the roti remained, gravy is finished, but still quarter roti left, or roti is eaten, and the salan remains. The roti was eaten, and the salan remained. He would tell the candidate, there is no equilibrium in you. Now we can go home and check, ask our wives, they are genuine sheikhs of ours. Check how we're eating our salan and roti. So if they say there's no equilibrium in you, he says our temperaments, our mizaj, not the same. And we will never get along together. So it's vital, the sheikh and the murid also must have some equilibrium in both. The tabiats must meet. He would not make him bayat. The candidate had failed this interview. In worldly affairs, a lot of emphasis is placed on interviews. We hear of people having passed the written examination, but failing on the results of an interview. Here's another kissa. Ghulam Yahya was a person who wanted to become bayat. He's well known to students. He was a great scholar, excelling in logic, mantiq, philosophy and logic. So in fact, his kitab has been and is still taught as a standard textbook in the madrasas. He presented himself at the residence of a very well-known Sheikh, Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali. Now, Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali, his temperament was also very, very hard, serious person he was. The doorman went inside to obtain permission for him to enter. Nobody was allowed to enter without permission. The appointment of a doorman was a common practice with the Naqshbandi Mashayikh of old. When permission had been obtained, Ghulam Yahya entered and greeted, Assalamu Alaikum. Mirza Jana Jana Ram replied, Wa alaikum assalam. But as he lifted his head, his eyes fell on Ghulam Yahya. He quickly covered his face with his one arm and shooed Ghulam Yahya away with the other hand, saying, there's no place here for a bear. Now, somebody just reads this. What is wrong with it? How can you say such a thing? Everything has to be understood in context. Sometimes, just right in the beginning I mentioned, certain things we'll see or hear, now because we don't have complete understanding, we jump to conclusions. There's a purpose, we'll see what happens here. So Ghulam Yahya was perplexed and he leaves the room. In actual fact, that one glance by Mirza Jana Jana Rahmatullah was sufficient to size up Ghulam Yahya. The reason for calling him a bear was that he had an extremely long beard and it was very unkempt. He didn't comb his beard at all, very shabby looking, going all different sides. There was disorder in his beard. It was not kempt properly, so his beard was unkempt and disorderly. Being an alim, a Maulvi Saab, the condition of his beard betrayed a streak of disorderliness in his personality. Now imagine, just on his beard, man's beard is not looking right. His disorder in his beard, that means his disorder in his life. Once outside, Ghulam Yahya paused to ponder for Mirza Jana Jana Ram's reaction. So he thought, he said, it must be my beard. He surmised correctly. Straight away he went and he combed it properly, he oiled it, he presented himself again. His beard was neat, combed, and now the response was totally different. Mirza Jana Jana Ram welcomed him happily, asked him to be seated, complimented him, MashaAllah, you now look like a human being. Did you notice how quick the interview was? Just a glance, an interview was over. Each person is judged according to the rank he wishes to attain. In our worldly affairs, a candidate applying for the governmental position of collector will be interviewed with regard to qualities desired in such a person. Is he strong-willed? Is he firm and dependable? So forth, so on. Here's another way a sheikh may interview a candidate. Provide him with a cup of tea. If he drinks audibly, slurping his tea, he has failed. Our dini teaching is that water, any liquid, should not be drunk in a noisy fashion. Animals drink that way. When eating, chew silently. You see in the khankas of those days, little things they were taught so that they become perfect human beings. They become insan. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah say, agar insan banna ho, phir koi hamare paas aa jana. You become murid and you want something, then go somewhere else. You become human being, then you come to me. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, it seemed as though outwardly he was very, very harsh. No. These people were the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They won't do anything deliberately against Quran and Hadith. Mistakes they will make, they're human beings. But they would teach people discipline. And this is the thing that we all lack in, discipline. A person will come to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah. Assalamualaikum. Hazrat Tabi Shai. Hazrat Thani will say, boy, go back. And I got one khadim there. Learn from him how to make salam. Then you come back. So he would go, learn how to make salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You see, discipline. I just read in the hadith the other day that the sahabi also did, Rasulullah told him, go back. And this is how you learn, this is how you must make salam. And then you come. So with children at home, we don't discipline them. They'll barge into the room, or into the house, no salam. So nicely tell them, bye, go back, knock on the door, you make salam, and then you enter. If you don't teach them these things, they'll grow up, they'll enter any place, do anything without salam. Now salam is so important. All these things teach us discipline. And unfortunately, the non-Muslims learned these things from the Muslims, from our kitabs. They implemented many of these things. And we see ourselves, we forgot these teachings. So in a meeting that you're having with some person, and your phone is ringing, so now you just ignore that person and you're busy answer that call. This is totally incorrect. You're being rude to the person. Take his permission. May I answer this call? I'm expecting an urgent call. Or the person is talking and you're busy sending messages, WhatsApp to somebody else. These are small things. But if we had to go for interviews, Allah knows best whether we'll fail or pass. See again, this was true tasawuf. Mu'asharat. Social etiquettes are part of our deen. This is also part of our deen teachings. These etiquettes are also part of man's natural temperament. Specifically made part of our lifestyle by our deen. The fact is that others have adopted our teachings, whereas we have neglected these very teachings. Many are under the wrong impression that these etiquettes belong to another culture. A careful study will show that these are actually from Quran and Hadith. A person lifts up the bamboo door screen and enters without seeking. They used to have screens before, made of bamboo. Like how we have chatai, they should have that on the wall as a barrier, like a curtain. This is a person enters, he just lifts the bamboo door screen without seeking permission first. Hazrat Ji says, failed. Why did he not seek permission? This etiquette is also ours. Quran Sharif instructs us to seek permission before entering a person's home. Another person leaves the room. In doing so, he lifts up the door screen and lest it fall back askew. One corner down, other corner up. Like how we have blind sometime, it jams, so one is up, one is down. So he said, failed. Why this disorder? See, no order in our lives. Why not depart with serenity? Others now have to take the trouble to set the screen straight. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali was very sick one night and he needed to go to the, to relieve himself. He went to the toilet. He relieved himself in the dark, no light, and he comes back onto the bed, barely able to walk, and then he thought that I think I left the lota, the jug for istinja, not in the normal place where he left, because when he went, somehow he left it on the other side. He went crawling back and he puts the lota back in its place, lest his wife or some other family member requires to use the toilet in the night, and for the few moments in the dark, they'll be, you know, fumbling and looking, searching frantically for that lota. It'll cause them taklif. So to avoid that, he went back and he put that lota back in its place. That is why it's known as Mujaddidul Millah. It wasn't a joke. They made such qurbani, such sacrifice. When he passed away, ulama and mashayikh and people who were present there saw light noor coming from between his fingers. Now these are people who not live very long ago, but they followed Quran and Hadith and Sunnah. And this is what we talk about, akabir, akabir, elders, elders. These were the elders. So he says, do you understand these etiquettes? They are part of our own teachings. These are etiquettes which bring adamiyat into a person. You see, admi hai. Admi means what? Human being. He's an insan. That is what we are aspiring to become. True human beings. Do you understand these etiquettes? They're part of our teachings. This discussion has come incidentally. Let us continue the kisah of Junayd Baghdadi and Shibli. Shibli had been refused bayat. Instead, he had been instructed to ask forgiveness from his former subjects. Shibli departed and did exactly as instructed. He went around for a whole year asking for forgiveness and then returned. Junayd Baghdadi Ramadullah was impressed by his sincerity. He now instructed Shibli to go out and beg alms from the people for another whole year. Just consider Shibli, a man of nobility, former ruler, told to go and beg. His Islah was in progress. Islah takes place in different forms. Bayat will take place at the proper time. But in the meantime, his Islah was in full swing. In this age, ask even a non-entity to go out and beg and see the reaction. Person will feel most offended. He will consider it an insult. He will leave mumbling, what kind of sheikh is this? Me, go and beg. In days gone by, seekers of truth were sincere. I'll repeat, in days gone by, seekers of truth were sincere. Shibli went out begging, whole year he begged. In all this time, he received nothing. He reported back. Junayd Baghdadi Rahman said, oh ho, people gave you nothing? What a shame. Never mind, go out and beg again. But this time, whatever people give you, see that you distribute it to the poor. Food was provided by the khanka. Those were times when the khanka and the madrasa were sponsored by the Muslim rulers. The expenses of these institutions were specifically budgeted for. This is all done according to the teachings of Sharia and the fiqhi masail which appears in the different fiqh kitabs. Now, no more. These institutions are forced to go out for collection in order to continue functioning. Shibli set out to beg again. This time people gave. But whatever Shibli received, he gave to the poor. In this way, another year went by. How many years have passed? 3 years. 3 years have passed since that day that he came with the request just to become bayat. 1 year was spent asking for forgiveness. 1 year went by begging and not receiving anything. And 1 year went by in begging and giving to the poor. Now only did he have permission to sit in the gathering. His Islah had been made. The exercises that he had been put through in the 3 years had made sure that there was no more pride, no more takabbur, no more ujub, vanity, and so forth. The correct tartib had been followed. That is the removal of akhlaqi razila before going on to the next stage. Nowadays people want to be raised to the level of khalifa, even before becoming bayat. A person wrote to me about a dream he had. In the dream, a particular buzruk had asked him why he was not making others bayat. This was not bothering him. Only after 3 years of effort was Shibli allowed the privilege of sitting in the majlis of Junayd Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali. Only now was some shaghal, some dhikr adhkar shown to him. Many people come here requesting to be shown some zikr, some tasbih on the very first day. Very well, inshallah, that will be shown. But the tartib is that Islah comes first. Remove all the debasing qualities first. Remove the akhlaqi razila and emblazon yourself with akhlaqi hamida. Clean the nafs first. Remove all the dirt and filth and all the maladivous items, all the bad and evil. Get this right first, properly. Remove the deficiencies. Fill up the cracks and the holes. The heart can attain a glow and luster only after the filth and impurities, the akhlaqi razila, have been removed. What has happened to Shibli in those 3 years? The animalism in him was removed. Now, he's becoming a human being. Students of logic will understand the following. When it is asked, Mani insan, what is insan? So in logic, we are taught, insan, ulama will know, we see, hayawanun natiq. Hayawan means animal, natiq means to be able to speak. An animal given, having given intelligence. Hazrat Wala used to say, that the scholars have given the above answer, but in his humble opinion, a more correct answer would be, an animal having fikr. Fikr means having one's vision on the eventual outcome of any act at first sight. The eventual outcome of any act at the first sight. The scholars of logic are all agreed that the subject of logic is meant for people like us and not the awliya. The gaze of the awliya Allah falls immediately on the correct outcome of a situation without them having to study the science of logic. This human being is hayawanun natiq, whose tazkiyah has been made. He has his animalism removed. This leaves him with the second quality in the aforementioned definition, namely intelligence. This is how he is differentiated from animals. An important point to remember is that the process of tazkiyah removes this animalism, but not the animal in man. The instinctive animal qualities have not been entirely eliminated by the process leading to Islam. These instinctive drives have been subjected to intelligence. There is no change in those basic instincts that man shares with animals. What has changed is that these instinctive qualities will not find expression contrary to the dictates of intelligence. There will be no abuse of one's faculties. We'll terminate here. Next week, inshallah, the three faculties of man. So what he's saying here, that effort is made, the animalism is removed, but the animal in man is still there. You'll still find some qualities that animals have and human beings have. And this quality is necessary for human beings as well. For example, you see, if there's no anger in the person, then how is he going to take revenge? And how is he going to fight in jihad, for example? So there will be those qualities, but he won't behave like an animal. That's the difference. Inshallah, next week, the three faculties of man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah guide us towards him. May Allah give us the true understanding of Islah, tasawuf. May Allah make us his awliya, his true friends. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.